Turn again this evening to the Book of Psalms, Psalm 139. Psalm 139. And we shall read down to verse 18. O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down-sitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thy hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain unto it. Whither shall I go from thy spirit? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. For thou hast possessed my reins. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret, and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect. And in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God! How great is the sum of them! If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee. May God bless to us that reading of Holy Scripture. The attribute which we are to consider this evening, as you probably may have guessed through our Scripture reading, is that of knowledge. The knowledge of God. Theologically, this is termed omniscience. Omniscience, which means infinite knowledge. Infinite knowledge. The God of heaven knows everything. He knows everything. Everything possible, everything actual. He knows all events. He knows all creatures, even to the whereabouts of a single sparrow. He is at all times fully aware of the past, fully aware of the present, and fully aware of the future. The Scripture states in Psalm 147 and verse 5, His understanding is infinite. And that sums up omniscience. We'll forget the big theological terms. We speak of the knowledge of God. His understanding, his knowledge is infinite. Oh, I'm afraid that many have a very inadequate grasp of these biblical terms. Infinite. What does that mean? It means having no bounds. It means knowing no limits. And the knowledge of the eternal God, dear ones, has no bounds. It's limitless. Let us just for a moment, hypothetical it may be, but let us just for a moment suppose that an angel, one of those mighty spirit beings, reported to the Almighty the fall of a sparrow in the vast forests, we'll say, of South America. Are we to suppose that that angel would get the reply? Oh, I wasn't aware of that. You see, God does know. He knows everything, even such minute details as the falling of a sparrow in a remote part of this world. But this is not all, because linked with God's knowledge is his understanding. To understand means to fully comprehend. It means a complete apprehension. An infinite understanding carries the thought of absolute perfection of every point. Whatever might have happened, whatever is happening, in any part of the universe, he has absolute perception of it all. The knowledge of Almighty God is entire. He is totally informed to the minutest detail. Now, the knowledge which mortal man has, he has acquired. It is the result of study, of labor, and of experience. That is how mortal men accumulate knowledge. But this is not so with the Almighty. God's knowledge is not the result of study, of consultation, of observation, or even of experience. And neither does God increase in knowledge. He is eternal. He is immutable. Therefore, his knowledge is eternal. His knowledge was from everlasting, and it is unchanging. Almighty God never gains more knowledge. He never increases in understanding. As the ages roll on, he doesn't increase in knowledge. No, God ever has, ever does, and ever will know all things. He'll know all things at all times, in all places. He is fully acquainted with every detail of the life of every being in heaven, in earth, and in hell. Fully acquainted, I say, with every detail of the life of every being in heaven, in earth, and in hell. In the book of Daniel, chapter 2 and verse 22, we read these words. Daniel 2, verse 22, he revealeth the deep and secret things. He knoweth what is in the darkness, and the light dwelleth with him. It's all before him. He knoweth all. What is more, God's knowledge is perfect. He never errs. He never imagines. He never exaggerates. And what is more, he never overlooks. The minutest detail is always registered at all times. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 13, neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. There's not a creature anywhere in the universe but what is manifest in his sight. And all things are naked and open to his eyes, the one with whom we all have to do. Psalm 139 and verse 6, and we read it together this evening. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain unto it. Of course not. Because we are speaking of infinite knowledge, and we are finite creatures. So the things which I'm bringing to your notice and calling your attention to this evening, it's too wonderful for us, beloved. We cannot attain to such heights as this. But this is the God, and this is the point, dear ones. This is the God with whom every creature has to do. We bring to you the opening verses of our reading this evening. O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. God has searched. He knows us through and through. He knows us. Thou knowest my down sitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thoughts far off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down. Thou art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether, before the tongue has expressed it. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thine hand upon me. Oh, how little, dear ones, how little do we consider omniscience. How little thought do we give to it. Is it not because this attribute fills us with uneasiness? Is it not a searching thought that nothing, nothing can be concealed from the Almighty? He has absolute perception of every point. His knowledge is entire. What does he say in Ezekiel chapter 11 and verse 5? Let me bring you the words. It's the words of Almighty God. Ezekiel 11 verse 5. I know the things that come into your mind, every one of them. This is why men will not consider the subject of omniscience. I know the things that are in your mind, every one of them. Is not this a terrifying statement? But it is true. Does not this alarm you, dear unsaved one? And you pass into eternity, unrepentant and unforgiven. One day the book of your mind will be opened. These are the books which are disclosed to us at the final judgment in the account which is given in the book of the Revelation. And the books will be opened. One day the book of your mind. Remember, God knoweth everything that comes into your mind, every one of them. One day those books are going to be opened. The book of your mind. And all secret sins as well as open sins will be brought to light. And the eternal sentence will be passed. Bind him hand and foot and cast him into outer darkness. The words of the Lord in Matthew 22, verse 13. Oh, I do not like bringing such scriptures as this to bear. I get no joy in it. But bring them I must. It is my charge to declare unto you all the counsel of God. And although this series of ministry is doctrinal, yet it has its application to both believer and unbeliever. And make these applications, I must. In view of the fact that God is totally informed as to the minutest detail of my life, which includes everything that comes into my mind, I'm speaking of myself now. I say, in view of the fact that God is totally informed as to the minutest detail of the life of Herbert Mullen, which includes every thought which comes into his mind, I tell you, I could not live with myself if I did not know that all my sins were covered by the blood of Christ. I just could not live with it. Thou God seest me, is the word of Genesis 16 and verse 13. A woman who was aware of the fact that she was always under divine scrutiny. Thou God seest me. And this is frighteningly true, dear ones. We are never out of the scrutinizing gaze of Almighty God. The trees of the garden in Eden could not hide our first parents. No human eye beheld Cain murder his brother, but his Maker knew. Sarah might laugh in derision in the isolation of her wilderness tent, but that laugh was heard in heaven. Achan stole a wedge of gold. He hid it carefully in the earth. But God brought it to light. David went to great pains to cover up his wickedness. But ere long, God sent his servant to confront him with those devastating words, "Thou art the man." Ah, dear ones, the eyes of the Lord are in every place. He knows. Men would strip God of his omniscience if they could. They naturally hate this holy perfection of the Godhead. Indeed, they do seek to banish such a God from their thoughts. And they think of him, if they think at all, only as a God of love. Well, this is but the God of their own vain imaginations. The Spirit of God through Hosea the prophet in chapter 7 and verse 2 says, "And they consider not in their hearts that I remember all their wickedness. Now their own doings have beset them about. They are before my face. They consider not in their hearts that I remember all their wickedness. They're before my face." In Psalm 90 and verse 8, "Thou hast set our iniquities before thee, our secret sins in the light of thy countenance." They're all there. The great Creator God knows it all. Every sin of every person who has ever lived be they monarchs, be they great statesmen, or be they the rank and file of the ordinary man and woman. God knows it all. He remembers. Psalm 9 and verse 12. When he maketh inquisition for blood, he remembereth them. He forgetteth not the cry of the humble. When he maketh inquisition for blood, what does it mean? It means when he makes judicial inquiry. Judicial inquiry for blood. He remembers, says the scripture. What a word is this? For all the Neros and all the Hitlers and warmongers of history. In a judicial inquiry for blood one day. Yes, and not only them. What of those who have persecuted the faithful believers, putting millions to death down through history? Read the trail of blood. The eye of an omniscient God has registered it all, everyone, and he does not forget. And one day, he is to make judicial inquiry. He will hold an inquisition concerning their blood. He forgetteth not the cry of those humble believers. He forgetteth not the cry of those humble believers. There'll be a judicial inquiry. There'll be an inquisition. In our public scripture reading this evening, we read a psalm of David. And at that particular time, David felt completely hemmed in by the Almighty. And in verse 5 he said, "Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thine hand upon me." Well, this is precisely as it is. This is exactly how it is. God is ever before and behind us. There is no escape. He is aware of every thought and every action. And what is more, he registers it all. He remembers. The unbeliever hates this truth. Understandably so. The unbeliever hates this truth of God's perfect knowledge. He tries to banish it from his mind. And sad to say, it is a line of truth. The attribute, any of the attributes for that matter, but the attribute of God's knowledge receives but scant attention in the pulpits of Britain today. You won't hear very many preaching on such a subject. Men and women in consequence are not faced up with the fact that God is omniscient. I brought to you the scripture just now from Hosea 7. They consider not in their hearts that I remember all their wickedness. Now, so far has this application been made to the unbeliever, and most solemnizing it has been. But there is also an application to the believer. And the perfect knowledge of God is fraught, on the one hand, with very much comfort to the child of God. Job, in the 23rd chapter of his book, in verse 10, says, He knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. in times of adversity, when our minds become perplexed. The course of events in our lives, bewildering. He knows. The path may be profoundly mysterious and dark in the extreme, but the God of heaven, he knows every turn of the way, and he knows every pothole which is in our track. In times of physical weakness, when the body becomes frail, he knoweth our frame, and he remembereth that we are dust. In times of doubt and suspicion, can we not, like the psalmist, appeal to this attribute? Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. In seasons of sad failure, when our actions have belied our hearts, when our deeds have not lined up with our profession, and which of us have never trod this path? Many have been the occasion when our words and our deeds have not really lined up with that which we profess. There's been failure. When in moments of solitude, after such failure, that searching question comes from the lips of the Savior. It's heard only in the quietness of our own hearts. Lovest thou me? Is it not in such moments a very great comfort, beloved, to be able to turn to the one who is a God of knowledge, and say, Lord, thou knowest all things, and despite my failure, thou knowest that I love thee. Another point which should be made concerning the attribute of God's knowledge, and that is, there is never any danger of any individual believer ever being forgotten or overlooked. Amidst all the multitude of the Lord's own people, there is never any danger or any risk of any one of us ever being overlooked or forgotten. If God knows the position, the condition, and the whereabouts of every sparrow, remember the words of the Savior, we are of more value than many sparrows. None of us are ever overlooked amidst the multitude of God's people. The mind of infinity is capable of paying attention to untold millions as if only one was concerned. But God does not look upon his people en masse. He has his eye upon each individual who make up the total. Psalmist in Psalm 147 and verse 5 says, great is our Lord and of great power. His understanding is infinite, which I explained to you at the beginning of this sermon. It's boundless. It knows no limits. It cannot be confined. His understanding is infinite. God not only knows the past in every detail and the present with all that is happening in this little world, but also throughout the universe, with its countless number of stars and orbs and planets and comets and so on. He knows it all. We limit his knowledge to this little planet, and that is totally beyond us. When we expand our thinking to the universe, we're lost. He has perfect knowledge of it all. And neither is this all, for he has complete and perfect knowledge of every event, from the least to the greatest, that will ever happen in the future. Indeed, it goes even deeper than this. For all future events as past happenings depend entirely upon him. He brings them all to pass. If it were possible, for something to occur in the universe apart from either direct decree or the providential will of God, then he at once would cease to be supreme. See, divine knowledge is not an abstract thing. It is inseparably connected with God's purpose and design. That which is God's purpose will be effected. It is virtually impossible for the counsels of the infinite to fail. An absolute impossibility. The writer of the book of Proverbs in chapter 19 and verse 21 says, there are many devices in a man's heart. Don't we know it? There are many devices in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord, that shall stand. The counsel of the Lord, that shall stand. Many counsels in the hearts of men. Their deliberations in high places. But the counsel of the Lord, that will stand. There is no future event which is a mere possibility. Not one. It's not something which may happen or may not happen. No, no. Acts chapter 15, verse 18. Known unto God are all his works from the beginning of the world. It's all known. Does not the great unveiling of the last book of the Bible commence with the words, things which must shortly come to pass? That's how it starts. Things which must shortly come to pass. Revelation 1, verse 1. In Luke's Gospel, chapter 24 and verse 44, the Lord himself said, these things must be fulfilled. Must be fulfilled. And nothing comes to pass merely because God knew about it. No, no. It doesn't come to pass simply because God knew about it. His eternal counsel is the cause. The knowledge of God, I say again, can never be isolated from his will and from his eternal counsel. For example, take the seasons. We go right back to Genesis chapter 8 and verse 22. While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night, shall not cease. But we know something about this. We know the regularity of the seasons. We bank on it. Winter is followed by spring. Spring is followed by summer. Summer is followed by autumn. And then the rotation goes again. We know their regularity. And God also knows. Yes, God knows that these things will continue right on to the end of earth's history. As long as the earth remaineth, this will be so. We know it. God knows it. But God's knowledge does not arise because these things are, or that they will be. No, no. It is because God has ordained them to be. That's why. That's why they continue. Because God ordained them to continue. You see, the attributes of God do not operate in isolation or independently. God knew, and through his prophets, he foretold the incarnation and the crucifixion and the resurrection of his son. Hundreds of years before it took place. But it was all in accord with the divine plan. A plan which was the purpose of God laid down before the foundation of the world. Acts 2 and verse 23, concerning Christ, he was delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. A determinate counsel. That's why it happened. And foreknowledge of God. But because the knowledge of God and his foreknowledge are two separate attributes, because they are, I'm not going to proceed along that line this evening, or the issue may be confused. Concentrating now upon this attribute of perfect knowledge at all times, does it not fill us with awe, beloved? Be we believer or unbeliever, does it not fill us with awe? How far removed it is from us and from our feeble comprehension. Now we live in days of great import. We do indeed. Which any thinking man or woman to any thinking man or woman must cause great anxiety. The days in which we live, with current events, I say it must fill any thinking man and woman with anxiety. There is no doubt whatsoever about it. We're living in days which are a parallel to the days of Noah and of Lot. The earth is filled with violence. It's filled with filth and debauchery of a most bestial nature. Think of the events of this week. Never in all my life have I heard anything like the demonstration which took place the other evening, or late afternoon, outside of Parliament, concerning the age of consent of so-called gays. Perverts. Filthy, beastly, animal-like creatures, never worthy of the name of human. Why they must be called gays is beyond me. But the protests, the shouting, the bawling, because the age was not lowered to 16. It should never exist at all. Never. This is the one sin for which God gives men and women up. Changing the natural use of the body. What happened in the days of Lot? A scene very similar to that which we witnessed this past week. In the days of Lot, those two men, strangers, were taken into the house. There was riots in the street. Bring out the men, that we might know them. It would have been bad enough if they'd been crying for the woman, for the women. But no, they'd sunk much lower than that. They didn't want the women. They wanted the men. They would have broken down the doors to get at those fellows. That's the days in which we live. This is what men are clamoring for today. Almost breaking through the doors of government in order to get that which they want. That's the days in which we live. Oh, it's the days of Lot, all right. It should cause, I say, any man or woman great anxiety. But we, his redeemed ones, we need not panic, dear ones. These things must come to pass. We need not panic, because all the future, all the present, all the future, it's transparent to his omniscient gaze. And the destiny of men and the destiny of nations are in his hands. And God will surely bring this nation down apart from his sovereignty. Apart from a sovereign, spiritual, reviving and returning to true religion, this nation is finished. That's why we have such mismanagement in high places. God ordained these men there for that very purpose. God put them there, not the electorate. God put them there. He's got them there for a purpose. We need not be surprised at their foolish actions. The destiny of men and nations are in God's hands. Now for the practical application, as we conclude. Let us each and every one ever remember that every moment of our lives is in full view of the eternal God. The eyes of the Lord, says the book of Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 3, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. 1 Samuel 2 and verse 3, the Lord is a God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed. If we consciously lived in the light of this attribute, what a curb it would have upon us. Instead of acting impulsively, instead of speaking recklessly, we should hesitate. Using those words of Genesis 16 and verse 13, Thou God seest me. Surely the infinite knowledge of a holy God should work in us all a true fear of God. May it be so for his name's sake. Amen. Hymn number 91. Again, this is a hymn which is not in the other book, and that's why we are using hymns of faith this evening, because this is such an apt conclusion to this evening's sermon. 91 in hymns of faith. We have not known thee as we ought, nor learned thy wisdom, grace, and power. The things of earth have filled our thought, and trifles of the passing hour. Lord, give us light, thy truth to see, and make us wise in knowing thee. Number 91. night.